This Thursday, October 7th, marked the 9th anniversary of the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. This may not be a major milestone for most Americans, but two Tucsonans, each with strong connections to Afghanistan, have made numerous trips to that country in recent years. They go there to try to make a difference, in spite of the many obstacles that war has put in place. Next, Anissa Tanweer brings us the story of two women trying to create better educational opportunities for Afghans.
It's an imposing sight that's been commonplace in Afghanistan since late 2001. Hulking foreign soldiers in combat fatigues loaded with 60 pounds of weapons and high-tech gear. But along with them came a cast of slightly less conspicuous characters, the civilians that flocked to Afghanistan from around the world to do all the things militaries traditionally don't do. They included journalists, NGO workers, government contractors, and civilian government employees. And while they're not fighting in the war, their efforts may be just as important in determining the fate of Afghanistan. Atifa Rawan and Anna Hacker are two women who went to Afghanistan shortly after the fall of the Taliban regime. Aside from the fact that they're both from Tucson, they have a lot in common. They both have memories of living in Afghanistan before it was ravaged by decades of warfare. They're both frank in their assessment of the role foreigners are playing in Afghanistan, and they both firmly believe education is the key to peace and prosperity there. Atifa Rawan is a librarian at the University of Arizona. She was born and raised in Kabul, Afghanistan, but left as an 18-year-old to attend college in the U.S. When she went back to Afghanistan in early 2002, it was the first time she had set foot on her native soil in over 30 years.
I was pretty devastated and extremely upset. Everything was shattered. I didn't even recognize any part of the country, and I felt like I could not even identify myself that I grew up in that country.
On her initial visit to Afghanistan, Rawan realized that there was an opportunity for herself and other expatriates like her to help rebuild their homeland. Even President Karzai appealed to Afghan expatriates living abroad to pitch in and help with Afghanistan's redevelopment.
For one thing, we do know the culture. We do know the language. Side by side, we could be very effective in terms of really educating them in areas that they have not been taught anything. So I think we have a major role, and I think we not only major role, I personally think we have it's our responsibility.
Figuring out how she could help was a no-brainer for Rawan. With 33 years of experience in the library sciences, 25 of them here at the University of Arizona, she rolled up her sleeves and set to work rebuilding the library at Kabul University. Rawan decided to leapfrog over paper books and instead build Afghanistan a digital library.
Interlibrary loan does not exist in Afghanistan. So if Kabul University has a collection of books in one location, how on earth libraries from Kandahar or from Logar or from Mazar will be able to borrow anything? When something is available online digitally, anybody from anywhere can access them.
Shortly after Rawan had left Afghanistan in the 60s, Anna Hacker arrived there from the U.S. She taught at the American International School of Kabul for 4 years in the early 70s. Hacker maintains a home here in Tucson, but for four decades now, she's spent the better part of every year living and working abroad. In 2003, she decided it was time to go back to Afghanistan. And like Rawan, she found that much had changed.
We used to see beggars before in the 70s, but now it was more intense and a lot more women because you had a lot more widows because of the war. And I saw the children, because the children are not orphans, but they are street working children. They must work to economically support their families.
Hacker partnered with an Afghan NGO called the Afghan Women's Education Center.
I saw the work in the center, and the center was fantastic. The widows were learning literacy. The children were bright and happy, and they were loving being there because it was a place that had comfort and security.
But the buildings were old and run down. So she decided to build them a brand new facility to house their programs for widows and street working children. She raised 100% of the money on her own from private donations without the help of a large NGO or government agency. Both Rawan and Hacker have made multiple trips to Afghanistan each and every year to work on their projects. And in these trips, they've seen firsthand that the presence of foreign civilians in Afghanistan has complex implications. For one thing, the cost of living has skyrocketed with the influx of foreign dollars and foreign consumers.
I think money is a major issue. Of course, you know, if you go as a civilian, as a U.S. citizen, your salaries are much higher because you have to live in a nicer home and you have to have a driver to drive you all over in town. You have to have a cook. You have to have sometimes even guards to guard your houses. But the Afghans themselves, I know the university salaries are anywhere between $200, $250, maybe $300 a month. The cost of rent alone could be anywhere between $5,000 to $1,000. So there is no way they can afford renting a home plus paying for other expenses. I think we in the West have obligation to not create that kind of economic disparities.
Rowan says that situation, combined with insecurity, political instability, and a burgeoning illicit drug trade, fuels the corruption running rampant in Afghanistan. And Hacker says corruption can flourish when foreigners aren't directly involved in the projects they're funding.
How can you give help if you can't meet the people you're giving it to? How do you evaluate a project when you have to wait for an Afghan evaluator to come back and tell you if the project is right? We look at the women and they're in burqa, but I will be very honest, you look at the Americans there and they don't wear a burqa, but they're hiding behind a concrete security wall. I go there. I have no security. I travel all around Kabul. I meet Americans on planes. I meet them out in the store. I'll try to tell them about the project and invite them to come or come to the house and have a good Afghan meal. None of them can leave their security because it's in their contract.
In spite of the obstacles and complications, Rowan and Hacker realize that foreign civilians do have a lot to contribute to Afghanistan.
Yeah, there are some good projects that's come out of their efforts, and I think we have to give them credit, and I think there's a good amount of deed on their part.
It is a place that needs our help. We just have to learn how to help better.
Both women believe the most important thing the international community can do is invest in Afghanistan's educational system, and they're determined to see their own educational projects completed.
Oh, it's nearly done, you know. Sigh of relief, we hope. I go back in November. I'm here till October 12th and hopefully open in November. So when we open the center, we'll have a bookmark to give away, and it will say, Education Ensures Peace.
Rowan and Hacker will each be traveling to Afghanistan in the coming weeks. They're hoping that in this 10th year of the U.S.-led military engagement there, they'll start to see signs of meaningful progress. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Anissa Tanwir.
We've got more information about the projects that Atifa Rowan and Anna Hacker have started in Afghanistan. It's on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpublicmedia.org.